Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That'd be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all for good measure. Hey, listen, I got a surprise call here. So State Senator Sam Gavan serves out of Huntsville area. They just sunny-died last night. And there I was just smack-talking about the bill that that talks about not being able to hold the phone in your hand. Well, he tells me that he was able to get that bill amended towards the end. And so I said, come on the air and tell us. So without further ado, State Senator Sam Gavan, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, lovely, lovely. Glad the session is over. Everybody's safe now, right?
That's exactly right. The state is safer.
This bill has come up every year I've been in the legislature. This is the fifth year we've dealt with it. We killed it in the Judiciary Committee in the Senate one year when it did make it out of the House. It hadn't made it out of the House since. And so this year they made a smart ploy. And it's, look, there's some horrible stories out there, horrible stories. And, you know, the story comes out of it. We've got to do something, you know. We got to save lives, blah, blah, blah. Well, we can slow everybody down to 35 miles an hour on the interstate. We'll save lives. I mean, there's got to be a balance in all this, right?
Right, right.
And that's what we're constantly faced with, what that balance going to be. And so they were really smart this time, the proponents of the bill. They went and got the rules chairman, Jabbo Wagner, to carry it.
Oh, yeah.
And so he shows up in front of the Judiciary Committee, and guess who the lone no vote was, which, you know, I'm not used to being the lone no vote, but and I articulated my reasons why I was against it. I was very impractical, and then I was able to meet with him. And of course, I said several times I'm the only one that had poor enough judgment on the judiciary to vote against the rules chairman. And there were others I knew didn't like it, but they were either afraid to vote publicly against the rules chairman or just even against the bill. And you know, so there are a number of things out there that I just said, look, this isn't workable. I didn't want to go have to filibuster with the rules chairman. I mean, that's no fun. But I was able to sit down with him and with Senator Barfoot and with Othney Lathrum at LSA, and we were able to go do some things. Because, I mean, the way the bill was is it started out as if anything you did that was distracted was illegal, and not just,
yeah.
I mean, it was a misdemeanor, not just a citation.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's that, getting a French fry, fooling with your radio, reaching back to slap your kid on the leg? I mean, you know, what all is that? And of course, I laid this all out in committee and a little bit on the floor. And then, you know, I'm got my hand on my phone, and I said, the big thing I cannot live with, I said, I have come much closer to have a wreck fooling with my radio than I have from, you know, talking on the phone. Now, I've missed my turnoff where I wanted to turn because I was, you know, kind of get on autopilot or something and forgetting I needed to go by the grocery store or something. But, you know, there's times like I call my dad, he can't hear me if I'm on Bluetooth. And then there's people that I've just not been able to hear when I'm on Bluetooth. I've got to take them off.
Yeah.
And so it's just not practical. And so what we compromised on is, you know, you still can't text and drive. You can't, you know, you can't be dialing a number as you're going down the road. Now, I don't know how the officer's going to have to see you do that. But we also, the Democrats had a lot of concerns about this because they think they're going to get pulled over and targeted. And, but basically what we came up with is if you're touching your phone, it's not a problem unless you are swerving or, you know, doing something that the officer can go, well, wait a minute, this is distracted driving. You know, they're stopping unexplainedly, something like that. And then the House, we put some other things in there that I thought made sense. You know, you shouldn't be, you know, doing videos going down the road. You shouldn't be, I don't remember all the different things that are listed there, but there's some specific things listed. And then the House of Representatives said, hey, look, for any of that to come in, you need to be doing something that's objectively distracted, such as swerving, you know, switching lanes without, you know.
It's a secondary offense, basically, right?
Exactly.
Well.
It's a secondary offense. And so I don't know how much it's going to be enforced. It's another tool in the police's forces toolbox, so to speak. But it was just going to keep coming, and this was the most reasonable bill I had seen in 4 years to start with. But and we did. I put in the amendment that said you couldn't, the distracted driving basically had to be a itemized offense. It couldn't just be the officer thought, oh, wait a minute, he's eating French fries, and I don't like the fact that he's an Auburn fan or an Alabama fan or whatever. We're going to pull him over and have some fun with him. It's got to be an itemized offense.
Well, I get it. I mean, I helped pass the original texting while driving law, but I just at some point you're going to look at this too, though, Sam, and don't you think that somebody's going to get pulled over and they go, "But officer, I wasn't holding my phone. That was a chicken biscuit." I mean, what are they going to? I mean, how are they going to prove they actually had the phone in their hand?
I think at the end of the day, and although they were very quiet about it, eerily quiet, at the end of the day, I think this is something that the trial bar will use and when people do have wrecks, and they'll be able to do, forensic investigation. Because one of the things in there is that, you can't text and drive, but you can use Siri or whatever else to do a text as you're going down the road.
Yeah.
Well, if they're looking at my phone, how do they know? I mean, maybe they could tell. How do they know if I texted it or if I use Siri?
It's funny you say that. The car I used to have, what I called my common sense car for driving back and forth to Montgomery, was a Ford Fusion. And I could voice text on my Bluetooth, and it would send, and it would say, "Sent from my Ford Fusion." It would say it on my phone. But I still look at it and go, this is going to be fun, man. This is one more thing for people to go, "But that was not a phone. That was my book," or I don't, who knows. But
you brought up on using navigation system.
Yeah.
That was an exception in the bill originally. And I made the statement. I said, "Look, I'm going to put my phone on navigation going down the block so I can have it in my hand. The officer says something to me. I go, oh, I'm on navigation." I mean, it wouldn't take people long to figure that out.
Well, and you're a lawyer. All right. Hey, brother. Hey, thanks for the last minute call. That's good stuff, man. I appreciate you. And congratulations on being done with the session.
Amen. Take care, bud.
All right. See you. That was State Senator Sam Gavan. Surprise call, and glad of it. I see what he's saying. And they did mitigate the bill, and I'm glad, because I'm aware the original version of the bill, that would have been something else. And it's kind of funny hearing him talk about going and getting the rules chairman to be the sponsor. Now people didn't want to have to, vote against the rules chairman. That's a cagey way of getting a bill through, but it's true. Well, I mean, listen, okay, I get it, but I think there's still and there's other bills, by the way. We're going to cover down on several of them. And then coming up top of the hour, State Representative Anthony Daniels, who did a great job on a bill that I believe Sam Gavan was helping to carry in the Senate, was the one that gave a tax break for overtime pay. We're going to talk about that with them. I will say this, the text lines got very active, especially when I mentioned Siri. So, for instance, Allie from Athens says, "Colonel, I think you're being inadvertently sexist. Who says that Siri is always in the feminine voice?" Says, "I have the bossy Aussie male version of Siri to keep me in line." That is funny. I've heard, by the way, you can download other voices. Like, there used to be one for your navigator, Mr. T's voice. And it would say things like, "Turn right, fool." And stuff.
That's pretty awesome. I think they also had a Yoda voice once at one point.
Oh, right turn it is.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. What else we got in here? Wade from Huntsville says they cannot check anything on your phone without a search warrant. Thank you, Wade from Huntsville.
Yes.
What are you trying to hide, by the way, Wade? If you need an attorney. Mike from Muscle Soul says, "Check the Babylon Bee." Linked on my Twitter feed. He says, from the story, aliens spoke via telepathy. President Biden, what? Okay, Mike from Muscle Shoals, is aliens are speaking. President Biden was present but unable to communicate due to a I saw it. Okay, it was a joke. I did see that. Aliens were saying they want to talk to a new leader because the current one, that makes no sense. I saw that. It was Babylon Bee. That's funny. I did. That was good. Donna from Coleman just texted in. This is breaking from WBR6 in news in Birmingham. The FBI is en route to Peru to take Joran Vandersloot into custody. Very toxic male. Okay. Donna, I see that. I think you may have missed the point of my monologue, but Joran Vandersloot is not masculine. He's a thug. So there's that. Tony from Piedmont. Apple has the worst spell check. I know. That's got to be true. Although I will say, I'll tell you right now, Android is awful too. I'm a droid guy.
So I think just spell check in general is terrible.
It's not the way I talk. It's got to be the spell check.
That's right. Artificial intelligence will fix all of it.
Oh, thank you. I feel certain that's going to happen.
Here comes Sydney.
I've told you all about some of the voice text messages that really almost got me in trouble.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like the one where I was talking to a guy about some business opportunities we were examining, and I just texted back while I was walking. I said, I like the way you think. And I looked down right before I hit send, and it said, I like your thong. And I was like, oh, my God. What? They would be taking my man card away if I had sent that text. So luckily I caught
totally
that
would
one.
Have.
I'm just saying. Mindy from Birmingham says, hi, it's Mindy.
Hey, Mindy.
Okay, Mindy. Good. How are you? Glad you're in the text line. I think she's trying to talk. I think she's texting somebody else and texted us instead. Frank from Huntsville. Ever notice how people are texting and driving? They slow down. So that's why I always have my cruise set. Well, that means it's going to run right up the tailpipe then. So he's saying while he's texting and driving, he's on cruise control. This is getting scarier by the minute.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going to stay home, walk everywhere I go. Wow. Okay. Paul from Huntsville says outlaw Jeeps. That's I take great offense at that.
We both have a Jeep.
We do. And I've got the noisier one than you do. You got
you
more soundproofing than I do. Yeah. Mine's yes. Okay. And then Wade from Huntsville again says, in today's society, calling someone dumb as a box of rocks is an extremely generous compliment. Okay. Says, I mean, even Domino's Pizza has to have a warning about, please do not eat this box. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'll tell you what. One thing that does aggravate about my Jeep.
Yeah.
Because I do have the dash screen, I forgot what we call it in Jeep, but it's basically, you know, your integration with your Bluetooth and your phone and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I turn my radio on, it makes me have to touch a little screen button that says, I agree to abide by the rules of the road. Pisses me off.
Every single time,
every single
sure.
time. There, I mean, sometimes I'm going to stab a hole right to that screen.
Yeah, I'd like to punch the lawyer that put that in place.
Friggin'
they,
lawyers.
They just cause problems.
Just a bunch of friggin' lawyers.
This is off subject, but I'm sitting, like, on a different side of the studio right now.
Yeah.
Man, I can see, like, everything. And there's this one thing that I keep seeing over and over on repeat right now, and it's on your screen, and it's a double-decker bus race.
You are so random right now.
I just had to see it because I keep watching it. I'm wondering which one's going to win, and it never shows me.
It's the one who's not texting and driving.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's it. All right, take us to the break, Butters, before we get Boomer all distracted again. We'll do the break right now. We'll come right back. I will jump in more detail now that I was completely thrown off by State Senator Sam Gavan calling in. But it was basically on topic. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. Sign it, I. It's the things that happened and didn't happen in the legislative session. Coming up top of the hour, too, a call from State Rep Anthony Daniels. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. All right, so hey, listen, we're talking about sine die. So for those of y'all that don't know the lingo of the Alabama legislature, there's a lot of nuances, the rules, the procedures, the mannerisms, the way we do things down there in Montgomery. I can just tell you, in 8 years down there, one of the things that I learned more than anything was if you know the rules, you can get a lot done. And if you don't know the rules, you're going to get it run over at every turn. And so knowing the rules, there are times when you may not know all the facts of a bill, but if you know the rules, you can still work it. So it's really, to me, it was always impressed by the fact that there is an order and a means by which things happen. It doesn't mean they always do it right. It also doesn't mean that they always do it well. But what it does mean is that there is a formality to the processes. And I always appreciated that. One of the things that happens, too, is throughout the time you're in the legislative session, they only have one session per year unless the governor calls for what they call a special. Every 4 years, they have what's called an organizational session where they pick new leadership and assign committees. But for the most part, every year there is one regular session, they call it. And all of the legislators, by the way, don't mistake them as being, you know, full-timers. They're not like congressmen or senators in D.C. In Alabama and in most states, your state legislature, they're part-timers. Although my wife and I jokingly called it my full-time part-time job. It was pretty hard to practice law and you know, be a senator because you're always on call for your constituents or going to a ribbon cutting or meeting with people about a problem or, you know, heading over to that small town on the far side of your district to meet with the mayor. And those, that's part of the job. I mean, no complaints. I'm just saying it can be a full-time gig, but technically it's not. Everybody has their own career. I mean, you heard Senator Gavan when he called in a minute ago. He's a lawyer in Huntsville. When I sat down in the Senate every day in the chamber, sitting there I was, a practicing attorney. To my right was a retired teacher. To my left was a retired Marine. Sitting in front of me was a farmer, a dentist, another attorney, a guy that owns a restaurant sat to my left. I mean, it's all folks like me and you who chose to run for office. And then one of the things that happens is at the end of every legislative session, the final adjournment is the one where usually it's the leadership will say, I hereby make a motion that we adjourn sine die. Sine die is the fancy word they tack on to the adjournment that means basically in Latin, something like it is complete or the end has come or something like that. So they have adjourned sine and die as of last night. The legislative session is over. There's a couple things that happened and some that didn't. And one of the things that surprised people was that a bill that would have made it illegal to do ballot harvesting did not make it onto the Senate calendar for the last day. Already passed the House. I think it was carried by, I'm pretty sure this one was a representative. Was it Jimmy Keel, I think? Anyway, the bottom line is this particular bill was believed to be one that was very conservative in nature. You know, here we are talking about election integrity. It's a crime. It would have made it a crime to help people cast absentee ballots in terms of, you know, doing way too much, like gathering up. Like what's really aggravating is you watch videos of people in Georgia, Pennsylvania, and California, and they would go to apartment complexes carrying stacks of blank absentee ballots, get folks to fill them out, oftentimes telling them how to fill it out, load them up, and then carry a stack of 50 to 100 back to the ballot collection area. That's called ballot harvesting. Now, that's different than helping your elderly aunt get hers done because she's not mobile and can't get to the polling site. That's different than someone who's blind needing someone to tell them how to fill it out because they're going to be gone and they can't make it to the polling site. Well, the Senate took no action yesterday, so that bill died, which was also, by the way, surprising because it was it was being touted and pushed by our new Secretary of State, Wes Allen. So anyway, for whatever reason, that bill didn't go through. Another bill that I thought was a little interesting because it was being carried by one of the leaders in the Senate, State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur. He had a bill to put more teeth in Alabama's public records law. You know, the press is all over this idea. We want FOIA requests. We want them quick. We want them, you know. Sometimes they're cumbersome, I get it, but other times it's just the department dragging its feet on getting the information that you've requested. Well, government is supposed to be transparent. Government is supposed to be amenable to the people and accountable to the people. And so FOIA requests, there are some studies that say that Alabama has one of the worst records for answering FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests of any state in the nation. So this bill by Senator Orr had already passed the Senate. He's a budget chairman. He's one of the leadership of the Senate. Didn't quite get there. Didn't even make it to the floor in the House on the last day. So that was interesting. But they did have time, by the way, though, to pass a bill that says food trucks can serve alcohol. I mean, let's don't deal with election integrity, but by golly, if you want to buy a beer from your food truck, as long as you're within one of the entertainment districts they have, then that's okay. I mean, it's... What they did, and I on the one hand, I kind of get it, but what they did was they just avoided controversy. They wanted to get in there and get some stuff done. A lot of folks were tired, and they were ready to be done, head to the House. But I'm telling you, they missed the ball on a few things, not the least of which is the bill we talked about at great length over the last few days, House Bill 298, to keep porn out of the hands of kids on cell phones by just turning on a filter. That didn't even make it to the floor for a vote. All right, we got plenty more where that came from. Coming up next, we should be having a call with State Representative Anthony Daniels. And we'll talk to him about his bill that actually got an upgrade at the last minute. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right side ruffians out there, you just scored a major coup yesterday on a bill that is one of my favorite bills of the year, House Bill 217. So I'll let him talk about it more when he come on right now. State Representative Anthony Daniels, how you doing, sir?
Doing good, Senator. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for making some time for us. Listen, you've been on the show once before. Got a lot of high praise, by the way, from my listeners who wanted to know why you sounded more conservative than most of the Republicans in Montgomery. But you got a bill, House Bill 217, and I think this was your idea, wasn't it, to take the taxation, state taxation, off of overtime pay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of times when we are pushing policy, oftentimes we're being handed policy from some organization or some group that have done tremendous amount of research, but for me, it's just conversations with people that led to this policy.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, that also makes it kind of like have street sense too at that same time.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, thankful to folks like you and others that are out there that are talking about this piece of legislation the moment you heard about it and really educating the public on it. And the public has started putting pressure on their House and Senate members about supporting this legislation. So you're really, you know, it was Main Street that made this happen. And so I certainly appreciate that.
Well, absolutely. And we appreciate you carrying the bill. So the bottom line is, this is the legislation that says, hey, if you're willing to put in overtime, if your business needs you to, you know, keep things moving, keep the machinery going, whatever the case may be, and you work over 40 hours in a week, then you're getting time and a half or whatever overtime is, but you're not having to pay state income tax on that, which is like a savings of about 5%. Am I right?
Absolutely. It's a common sense piece of legislation, as you mentioned. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're rewarding hard work. And right now, a lot of our industries and companies across the state of Alabama have, you know, now hiring signs out front, can't find the experienced workforce. Or they can't find anyone to work in some of these areas. And so by utilizing, incentivizing their current workforce that are trained, that they don't have to retrain, that know the job and know the machinery, you being able to utilize those individuals to work additional hours so that they could be at or ahead of their production schedule makes sense. But the incentive of the state of Alabama basically giving a 5% pay raise to those individuals that are willing to work overtime, it becomes a public-private partnership in general. And so I certainly appreciate the legislation, appreciate my colleague, Senator Sam Gavan, for carrying the ball in the Senate. And so it was truly a team effort from leadership in the House and the Senate. And we're just really excited about this and what it'll do for the people of Alabama.
Hey, I agree. And am I right that we're the only state in the nation that has done this form of tax cut?
Absolutely, the first of its kind. And so, you know, oftentimes when you have an idea out there, folks are scratching their heads saying, oh, so where are they doing, how are they doing this in other states? Let's see what they're doing. But instead, this year, we decided to lead the nation in something that's going to help from a workforce standpoint. We see the gridlock that exists in at the federal level in Congress. And so we just want to be able to provide some light at the end of the tunnel for workers in Alabama.
Well, that's very cool. Now, so this thing went through the whole process, and it got changed. It got amended a bit, and at some point, the legislature actually passed it, but they passed it with a limitation. It was going to be like no more than $25 million a year could go towards this kind of a tax cut. We call it a cap. So originally, to get it passed, the Senate amended it. I think Senator Orr actually amended it in the Senate as the budget chairman and sort of capped the capability of this. Am I correct in saying it that way?
Yeah, in the committee, Senator Orr offered an amendment to cap it at $2,000 per employee, and we just felt that a cap of by employee wasn't really the right approach, because that our intent was to make certain that we're able to reward hard work and no and put no limitations on it. And so we negotiated at $25 million. And $25 million is basically approximately a billion dollars in overall overtime paid to even reach the $25 million. And so the governor's office, you know, I've been in communication with the administration about what this means and how we want to make certain that we're working with industry to make certain that the implementation of this is seamless. And so in looking at the cap, it would have made it kind of difficult to manage. And so we decided that, hey, let's go ahead and remove the cap.
Well, and that's, and by the way, that was something that caught me off guard, and I bet it caught a lot of the legislature off guard. So the way this worked is the legislature passed the bill, sent it across the street for the governor to sign, and she had the option. She could have signed it, she could have vetoed it, or she could have gone number three, which is to amend it and send it back asking for corrections or for amendments. And her choice on her side was to waive the cap altogether. And that was, I'll be honest with you, man, that was kind of a coup. That was, did you know that was coming? Come on now. Did you know she was going to send it back? Did you already have that planned out? Come on.
I would tell you that there are a lot of conversations starting at Friday after I think the legislation passed on Thursday, and on Friday we were in conversations. Really slightly before it was sent off, there were some conversations taking place behind the scenes, and we were able to get to a point to where we got everybody comfortable with removing the cap because of the benefits. And I think that because the people were pushing and talking to their representative and senators, it made perfect sense. And so we appreciate Senator Orr for his willingness to work with us, and really all of us understanding the intent of the legislation, and that we feel that it'll increase the participation rate and do other things. And so, you know, sometimes, Phil, and you and others taught me this, sometimes it may not end up the way you want to in the beginning, but at the end of the day, you have to already have thought it through the next five steps in order to get to the finish line, and that's what we did.
And you called it, we were talking earlier, you called it playing 3D chess, I think.
Absolutely. That's 3D chess.
Well, so what I'm hearing is you made a smoky backroom deal with the governor. That's what I just heard.
Well, no, it didn't exactly happen that way.
Well, no.
I would say there's mutual agreements among all people. I would tell you, you know, the bill started out with no cap, so no one had to worry about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when things start shifting around, you have to figure out the implementation. Oftentimes when we pass legislation, we very rarely think through, okay, how is this going to be implemented? Are we creating even more barriers for business and others to be able to implement this? And if so, how do we correct it? And so that's kind of where that's why we didn't have a cap on in the beginning, is because it made it easier for businesses to not tax, send those taxes to the state, that 5% to the state, but put it in the checks of those employees.
Yeah,
and so it all worked out.
I think it did, and I applaud you on this. I think one thing that I did see that I don't have concerns over, but I know we got more work to do in the future, is the bill does have a sunset, right? This is like about a year and a half of time for it to run to see how it does, and if it continues on, the legislature is going to have to renew it. Am I correct?
Yeah, Phil. 1 year out from the primary, they will have to renew it.
1 year from the. That's, oh, okay. See, that's also politics. That's good stuff. Well, listen, State Representative Anthony Daniels, Minority Leader in the Alabama State House, this is one of the best bills of the year, in my opinion, and I really appreciate the work you did, the creativity on it, and I certainly appreciate the fact that it was bipartisan, and we appreciate you making time for us today, man.
Well, thank you, Phil, and I will say to the listeners out there, call every House member and senator and thank them. Because, you know, the Speaker and the Pro Tem, Majority Leaders, Budget Chairmen all had a role in this. And Senator Gavan carried in the Senate. And so all of these men and women that's in the part of the legislature, legislative body, should be applauded, and the governor should be applauded for her willingness to remove that cap.
All right. Good enough, man. Well, listen, you have a great day. Enjoy the fact that the session is over, and we'll get you back on sometime soon.
All right. Thank you, man. Look forward to it.
All right. Thank you. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there are times when I gripe about government, and I can do it because I've been in it. I mean, I may not always know what the executive branch is up to or the legislative branch, the judicial branch, but I've walked the halls of the State House for 8 years, and I can just tell you that what you saw in that piece of legislation was a classic example of how it's supposed to go. It was a good idea that wound up having bipartisan support that was being looked at sideways by some people for a while. They weren't sure it was going to pass, and then it got legs, man. It got legs. And not only did it get legs, but somebody tried to amend it. Well, that's part of the process. It went through committee, and it got amended. And then the governor, the executive branch, said, you know what? I want more. And the governor amended it, sent it back, and the concurrence came from the House and Senate without any trouble at all. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the way – I mean, that's like a model right there. You could teach a class on civics out of that one piece of legislation. Not only that – but it's a tax break, so how do we argue with that? All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're going to head to a break right now. We'll come right back, and we'll keep on going with Sine Die. There's a couple more things you might want to know about the most recent legislative session, things that did and things that didn't happen, and what might be coming next year. All right, you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams. Phil Williams. Butters. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Oh, Butters. We're doing so good there, man. Now, it really is kind of cool having somebody else that knows the system. So you're doing a great job, buddy. Hey, I gotta go over. So, by the way, we had the text lines blew up, and I haven't caught up with them yet. But I do have to read this one. So, brand new texter. We were talking earlier about Siri and about voice texting and all that kind of stuff. So, you were, and I was talking about the voice texting.
Oh, right. We were talking about Siri, and then you know.
Well, Lisa from Huntsville is our new texter.
All right.
And she's got a great story. So Lisa from Huntsville says, back when Siri was new, it did not like my South Alabama accent. I attempted to text my husband, did you feed the dog? His response was, well, I tried to tell her about Jesus, but I don't think she understood. So I was very confused in the response, and then I looked at the message and realized Siri had interpreted it as, did you save the dog? So it all made sense when I saw what Siri actually sent. By the way, I no longer hit send without proofreading my messages.
That may be something you want to do on another show or at the end of a show one day. Say what was the weirdest or crazy? Well, I don't know if you want to do that or not. But
no, actually, I don't think I want to do that.
Maybe we don't.
We may have to use the red dump button over there if that happens. So anyway, all right. Hey, Lisa from Hunter, glad you're in the text lines. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, There's so many things that didn't happen. Two things about the legislative session. One is there are things that didn't happen, and what I always hated was when a good bill was needed, and everybody would say, well, it's a good bill. It's a good bill. A little controversial, but it's a good bill. If we don't get to it this year, we'll get to it next year. Daggum. If it's a good bill now, it's just a good bill now, right? I get it. I've seen some great legislation take several years to pass. One of the ones that was very frustrating to me that did not pass this time around, even though it passed out of the House, it did not make it out of or onto the Senate calendar for the last day, was a simple bill, in my opinion, House Bill 298. It's the one we had on the show Friday. I talked about it briefly in my monologue on Monday. But House Bill 298, all it did was say, hey, Every phone is already made with a porn filter. Every one of them. They already have it. It's part of the industry standard. And all it said was, in Alabama, when you buy a new smartphone or a tablet, that when the phone is activated, that the filter will also be activated. If somebody wants to watch porn, they can unfilter it. But that way, all it does is it keeps kids from accidentally playing with mom or dad's phone and seeing things they shouldn't see. Not that mom or dad were looking at it, but that the filter's not turned on. Let me tell you a simple story on that. When my daughter was in, I want to say, sixth or seventh grade, she had to do a story on politics. And she went to what she believed was going to wind up being a White House website, and it was not. And it's not always that kids are searching this stuff out. It's that they can stumble onto it without knowing it's there. And all this bill would have done is say, hey, you know what? All we're going to do is make that a little harder. And if somebody wants to watch porn, then the parental guards can be taken off. But we're going to activate them on day one just to keep that in place. And that bill didn't even come to the floor for a vote. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed in the Senate leadership for deciding that was just too controversial. Because the statements we got from, you know, my friend Greg Reed, who's the pro tem of the Senate, his comments were on not just that, but in general. Some bills didn't come primarily because there were questions, there were conflicts, there were issues, maybe unintended consequences that had been discussed, blah, blah, blah. What that basically said was, yeah, we just didn't want to rock the boat. We all wanted to go home. So that being said, they passed easy stuff like making sure that you can get a beer from your food truck. One thing that didn't happen this session, but is apparently, and I knew it would, you could smell it a mile away. What's going to wind up happening starting next year? I guarantee you, the gambling bill's coming back. Now, I don't care how you feel about casinos. Let me tell you how that gambling bill was styled last time. It was so bad. It was one of the worst pieces of legislation I've ever seen carried by a Republican. It was a bill that said, hey, let's take all those folks who've actually been breaking Alabama law, you know, like GreenTrack, that is allegedly like millions of dollars behind on paying state taxes. And let's give them a monopoly. We were going to take the names of industries, you know, casino owners who have been breaking the law in the past and give them a spot in our state constitution. Their actual name would be embedded in the constitution to give them a monopoly, saying that, yeah, and we'll have a casino, and guess what? They're the only ones that get to have it. There's no business in the world embedded in a state constitution like that. But we were going to do it. I say we were. Republicans were thinking about it. And that bill was making its way through the legislative process. I don't know what they're bringing back next time, but right now what I have is a story from Yellowhammer, State Senator Greg Allbritton, who I love Greg Allbritton. He's a budget chair. He's also, by the way, the Porch Creek Indians are his constituents. And he's looking at bringing back gambling next year. Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, says he believes that we got to deal with gambling maybe next year. All right, that's coming. All right, listen, we're going to switch gears when we get back. Going to talk about number two on the Triple Dipper. Haters gonna hate. Yeah, wait till you hear this one. We'll be right back.